Let's pray. As we come to your word, Lord, may we draw near with inquisitive minds, and may we hear you speaking, and our hearts burn within us. Amen. It would probably be helpful if you can keep that Bible passage open at Luke 24 as we go through. I've realised in preparing this sermon that the summer season, and in particular holidays, are a good test as to how much patience there is around. Firstly, there's the time from booking a holiday to actually going on it, which requires patient waiting. We're quite sad and need a holiday to look forward to, so we've usually booked our summer holiday by October of the previous year, which ends up being a long time to wait. And then there's the packing of the car. It was often the time when my mum and dad would argue, as the boot needed to be packed methodically. My mum could always see the best way to do it to maximise the space, which wasn't the way my dad would do it. So their impatience with each other would spill over. And then if you're going anywhere near Devon or Cornwall, then the M5 usually requires a significant amount of patience as the holiday traffic builds up. We're continuing our sermon series over the summer, looking at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, those qualities that we should show in our lives, and also how they're shown in the life of Jesus. And you've guessed it, today is patience. What do you think of when you think of what it means to be patient? The basic definition is the ability to accept or tolerate delay or problems or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious or complaining. We talk about someone as having the patience of a saint, someone who's really patient and always calm. Are you a very patient person? Margaret Thatcher once said, "I'm extraordinarily patient, provided I get my own way in the end." The Bible defines patience in much the same way as we think of it. It encourages us to be patient in affliction and suffering, to be patient with each other, and at times we need to wait patiently for God when it feels that he's not heard our cry or answered our prayer, and we have to continue to endure suffering or wrong that we meet and bear injustices patiently. We were chatting about this subject at home, and we decided that Archbishop Desmond Tutu was a good example of patient endurance as he lived through decades of racism in South Africa and the suffering that that brought, while waiting patiently for God to make a change. Jesus lived a life on earth full of the Holy Spirit, and so we would expect to see the fruit evident in his life. And this is where the Emmaus story comes in, offering us four brief examples of how Jesus shows his patience. To set the scene of our reading, Jesus has died a couple of days before. And just that morning, reports have come in that he has in fact risen from the dead. It's the afternoon towards the evening of what we know of as Easter Day, and two of his followers, possibly a husband and wife, are leaving Jerusalem and walking to a village called Emmaus. As they walk, discussing everything that's been going on, a stranger draws alongside them and asks what they're talking about. It's Jesus, but they don't recognize him. So firstly, Jesus is patient in listening. In verses 17 to 24, Jesus draws out from them the story about himself. They say they had regarded Jesus as a prophet, and more than that, this was the man of God's choice, powerful in words and deeds. They thought he was the one who would redeem Israel, set the Jewish nation free from Roman rule, and bring in the kingdom of God. That's why the crucifixion was so devastating. Jesus was the bearer of their hopes, and now he is dead and gone. And then there are the events of that day, reports that Jesus' body is missing, and angels saying that he is alive. You can just feel the sadness, the disappointment, the hopes dashed and the confusion. And Jesus listens. He says very little at this point, just two great open questions. What are you discussing? What things have been going on? He takes the time. He knows the whole story better than they do because they're telling him about himself. But he doesn't interrupt. He doesn't try to hurry them along. He lets them tell it in their own words. Taking the time to really listen to another person is a real gift to them. Jesus is a patient listener. He knows that these two followers need to get things off their chest and that telling their story is how their healing begins. We know that speaking about what has happened is powerful to begin to ease the pain and the enormity of what we feel, and it promotes our emotional and our mental health. Those two disciples had just been through a terrible trauma of the loss and death of not just their friend, but also someone they had thought was the Messiah who would save their nation. So Jesus is patient in listening, but he's also patient in teaching. Look with me at verses 25 to 27. And he has to be patient because his audience has been pretty dim. He takes the two disciples to task. How foolish you are. It's pretty strong language. It literally means without intelligence or understanding. Where's your brain? How can you be so thick? And how slow of heart you've been to believe the scriptures. You've not taken them seriously. And so he takes them back through the scriptures, looking at Moses and the prophets, and explains what they said about him, the Messiah. They're slow, but he patiently leads them on, as he had to do throughout his 3-year ministry. He often needed to be patient. When they squabbled as to who was the greatest, when their attempts to heal people failed, when Peter tried to tell Jesus that he would not let him die, when all the disciples ran off and left. And yet Jesus went on sharing his life with them, went on teaching them, and he would still go on to use them in the future as the means by which Christianity would spread across the world. I often think it's a shame that we don't know more of Jesus' Bible teaching that day as they walked along the road to Emmaus. What light would he have shed on parts of our Old Testament? To have heard it from Jesus himself would have been amazing. But Luke records what we need to know, that the whole Bible speaks of Jesus. And as Jesus patiently opens the scriptures to those two followers, he gives them a whole new perspective on what has happened. And verse 26 tells us that having patiently listened to their take on events, he particularly needed to spell out to them just what the Old Testament said about the fact that the Messiah would need to suffer. He had told them on several occasions during his time on earth that he would be betrayed and would die, but it seems they haven't heard it. So we see in Jesus that he was also patient in suffering. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? For those two followers, the fact that Jesus had been put to death was evidence that he could not be the Messiah. But as one commentator put it, they had been reading the Bible through the wrong end of the telescope. They saw it as the story of how God would rescue Israel from suffering, but it was instead the story of how God would rescue Israel through suffering, which God himself would take on in the person of the Messiah. Only when God's chosen one took Israel's suffering and the world's suffering onto himself, died under its weight and rose again, would the whole story be fulfilled. Jesus shows them that this was what had to happen, and now it has. But it was not without a cost to Jesus. He was patient in suffering in so many ways. He knew that he would offer up his life to save others. We know that he submitted to God's will, even when he would have preferred not to have gone through his suffering. And we know that he endured the cross, hanging there for hours, experiencing one of the most horrendous deaths ever devised by man. And as Jesus was patient in suffering, the New Testament tells us that the same may be required of us. As Romans puts it, to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. That's a tough message. We would much prefer to get better, to gain healing, for difficult feelings to pass, for broken relationships to be mended. Yet we are asked to be patient in these things, but remembering that we do not need to travel alone. So this passage shows us that full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was patient in listening and in teaching. He was patient in suffering. And fourthly, he was patient in loving. In verse 28, they arrive at Emmaus, and Jesus acts as if he's going further on. If they hadn't invited him in, he would have gone on his way. Jesus is patient in loving them and us. He does not force himself upon us. He draws out from us the desire of our hearts and waits for us to invite him in. And of course, it's only because they urge him to stay with them that they experience Jesus breaking bread with them, and they recognize him and their relationship is restored. It won't be the same as it was before his death, but it is restored. Jesus loves them, and see how he touches both their minds and their hearts. His teaching that engaged their brains also made their hearts burn within them. A relationship with Jesus is never just about head knowledge. He loves us, and that touches our hearts, the very centre of who we are. Jesus loves you and me, and he longs to be in relationship with us and to take care of us as our shepherd. But in his love for us, he is patient. He wants us to choose to be his followers. The book of 2 Peter says, he is patient with us, not wanting anyone to be lost, but for all people to turn away from their sins. So Jesus is patient in listening and teaching, in suffering and loving. But how can we show more patience? How can we seek to see this fruit in our lives today? I've had varying success over the years in being patient. Once in a toy shop, I was congratulated on my patience. When Tom wanted a toy so much that he refused to leave and was crying and stamping his feet. On this occasion, the crosser he got, the funnier I found it. But I'm not sure that laughter was the best reaction. But there were plenty of other occasions when I was driven to tears of frustration at the length of time it had taken us to get out of the house, and had no patience whatsoever with the children. Perhaps you've had to show patience with colleagues, particularly new ones who need to be shown the ropes. I can vouch for the fact that Will, our rector, has been very patient with me over the past year as I've settled into St Nick's and worked out what I'm supposed to be doing and asked all sorts of probably awkward questions. We might want to pray, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. We don't like waiting. We like instant results. But to strive for patience, to make patience or any of the fruit of the Spirit our goal, would be to go against the whole idea of what it is to grow fruit in our lives. Because fruit don't struggle and strain to grow. They grow naturally, steadily, surely, when the conditions are right. You can't always see the growth, but over time you can measure it. So it looks as if we need patience to cultivate patience. God's highest purpose for us as Christians is to make us more like Jesus. And as we get to know him better and walk with him, we begin to think and act like him. And we will show the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, whether we are aware of it or not. So the Emmaus Road story would teach us that Jesus draws alongside us as we walk. It starts with him. You may not recognize that he's there because you're not sure of what you think of him or because life is tough at the moment, but he is there. We won't become more like Jesus without praying. As those two disciples did, we need to tell him what is on our hearts, what saddened us, what we don't understand. Our sermon series on the Psalms taught us that we can share absolutely anything with Jesus. Sometimes we might need to do that by asking another person to listen and then pray with us. And what we find is that Jesus listens to us. He accepts us as we are, but he doesn't leave us there. He gives us a fresh perspective on our situation. And most often, the way he does that is by applying the words of the Bible to what is going on in our lives. We need to learn how to read the scriptures, and for that, we need Jesus himself as our teacher. The Emmaus Road story suggests that we should really pray for Jesus to open up the Bible to us whenever we study it, individually or together. And if we are to become like Jesus and so grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we need to invite him in. Maybe for the first time today, but also each day. Just simple words urging him to come and be with us. He has been so patient with us, suffering for us, forgiving us so many times. And in inviting him in, we will find that he will touch us, our hearts will burn within us. And as we realize just how patient he has been with us, so we will find we can be more patient with others. Today we gather for communion together. And as those two followers on the Emmaus Road heard Jesus' teaching and then recognized him as he broke bread with them, may we come and find him, both in the scriptures and in bread that is broken and wine poured out. Fix your eyes on Jesus, and you will find that he will change you as you walk with him. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your patience with us. In how you listen, how you teach us, in how you suffered for us, and in how you love us. As we walk with you and get to know you better, so may we grow your fruit in our lives. Amen.